Part two, the story of Afghanistan. We're going to discover some fantastic, wonderful news to give us a better idea of the distant past of this great country, Afghanistan. Last time I promised to say something more about the history of Cyrus the Great. And in this series, this presentation, we are looking at links between the ancient civilizations and Afghanistan. Let's move to another great historical site. The soil on which these tourists stand tells of the ancient links between the Medes and the Afghanistans. This is a great research. It is marvelous. It throws light on many interesting ancient events. The Medes, a Western Iranian people, arrived from what is today called Kurdistan. And there you can see the capital, Erbil. This is north of Iraq. In the 1700s BCE, they moved. And eventually they managed to rule over most of Afghanistan. So here we've got another link. These runes tell about the story of the famous king Kahares. His tomb was discovered recently. So he left from here to go and battle the Assyrians at Nineveh. Remember, the Assyrians were the world rulers. This was quite a personality. Now, after the famous Median king and Nabopolassar, the king of the Babylonians, conquered Nineveh, they divided their new kingdom into two parts. The Median king got Afghanistan as well as some of the adjacent countries. The Greeks tell these two visitors that the former king Sahasrar ruled ancient Afghanistan from this ruined Median capital. You know, this is what I love about archaeology. It brings the history back and alive. Can you imagine him ruling here, affecting Afghanistan? And can the ruins of Nineveh confirm the siege and the destruction? Oh, this is great, great research. Yes, yes. Do they have the date? Yes, 612. This mighty city of Nineveh came to its end. The Medians were the first to control parts of Afghanistan. Afterwards, when Babylon was conquered by Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Great, they were relatives, Afghanistan became a vassal of the new Medo-Persian Empire. These are their second masters. Let's read what the historian, and he's a very reliable source, Daniel, wrote about the two of them. This is Darius and Cyrus. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. He's taking us back to 539. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, so he was the first kingdom, a king of the combined Medo-Persian kingdom. Being about 62 years old, he only ruled for 2 years, by the way, while Cyrus was occupying Phoenicia. It pleased Darius to set over the king, now listen to this, 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. Darius the Mede was formerly called Sahasrar II. He adopted his new name after he ascended the Babylonian throne and the newly established empire. One of the 120 satraps represented Afghanistan. And this is what I like. The links between Afghanistan and the ancient civilizations. And over these 120 of them, three governors, of whom Daniel was one. that the satraps, and we're going to look at the satraps, might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps. So he was brilliant, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Do we have jealousy in politics? Yes. Do you think it is a possibility that the original name of Afghanistan could be found in archaeology? Yes, we're going to look at it. The Behustun inscription, this is in Iran, of Darius III, he was the third king of the Medo-Persian Empire, states that his father was satrap of Bactria in 522. Isn't this interesting? See, this is the ancient name of Afghanistan, Bactria. You know, I was so excited when I came across this information. So the father of Darius was from Afghanistan. This Darius was not related to Darius the Mede, of course. He was the third ruler of the Medo-Persian Empire. Let me tell you about an amazing discovery called the Heraclea head, because we're going to look at the profile of the satraps. And one of them was in Afghanistan. You can visit this interesting discovery in the Museum of Anatolian Civilizations in Ankara, in Turkey. I went there. I had the privilege to look at the artifacts there and study some of them, especially that some of Carchemish. What do you notice in this picture? You know, when you think you are big, just compare yourself to someone bigger and stay humble. You know, pride and selfishness are very dangerous. Be humble. People love humble people, not arrogant people. And here it is, the Heraclea head, depiction of an Achaemenid Empire satrap in the late 6th century BCE. Now, the Bible mentions satraps, and here you see one. Is it possible that he was related to Afghanistan? I don't know. Maybe we'll discover it at a later stage. What great event took place in Babylon that shocked the satraps? 120 of them, including Afghanistan. Listen what one of the greatest historians and author of antiquity wrote. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. I love this word, faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, now this is Daniel, then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You know, religious wars is part of our history. It is a very sad situation. Now, the satrap of ancient Afghanistan was involved in this plot. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. This was a way of greeting. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. What could this be? That whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions.
Wow!
You change from a polytheist to a monotheist, and you pray to only one person, and that is the king. Was the satrap, the governor of Afghanistan, involved in this plot to kill the boss, Daniel? We don't know. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Can you see him writing this? Oh man, he was so full of himself to think that people are going to worship me for 30 days. We are so idle. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, this is where he grew up, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Can you see these spies? They want to get rid of him. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, can you listen to them? That Daniel, who is one of the captives, amen, from Judah, does not show due regard for you. Can you believe it, O king? O king, and for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. King, he's arrogant. He's a rebel. We must get rid of him. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. This was his top administrator, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. King Darius, please carry on and get rid of this man. So the king gave command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Can you see this? But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. I like this. He will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. I think this old man wept. He's going to lose his best administrator. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. And no music were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. I think he was so nervous, but he wanted to check up. Remember, he said to Daniel, may your God protect you. He's going to see if this happened. And he also prayed that night. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice. A lamenting voice, can you hear him? The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? For a moment there was silence. Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever." Oh, I wish I could see that expression. "May God send his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found in him, because he believed in his God. I think Daniel and the king just embraced one another. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. Oh, this is so sad. And the lions empowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. What an interesting story. The king Darius wrote, now this is very interesting, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth," did this include Afghanistan? "Peace be multiplied to you." Beautiful. "Peace be multiplied to you." That's a wonderful wish. "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel." Now, you don't legislate religious issues. It should always be a free will. But anyway, this is what he did. "For he is the living God. He is greater than Marduk and Enlil and all the others. He is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end." This is interesting. This message was also sent to Afghanistan more than 2,400 years ago. I wonder how they reacted. Did Daniel discuss the prophecy of the meaning of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had in a dream with Darius the Mede? Because this was very interesting. It prophesied concerning the future kingdom of God that will never be destroyed. And this is going to be a kingdom without tears, without death, without rejection, and peace forever. And I'm sure Daniel discussed this with Darius the Mede. Listen to the next universal description of Darius the Mede. He's speaking of Daniel's God. "He delivers and rescues." Beautiful. "And he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." He describes the God of Daniel. He delivers and rescues. How did the people of Afghanistan react to the description of the God of Daniel in those days? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, that was for 2 years, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, according to the reliable account of Daniel, they had to appoint new satraps in the place of the old ones. Of course, not all the satraps rebelled. Did the ancient inhabitants of Afghanistan hear about the miracle of Daniel's rescue from the lion's den? It is possible that this was spread around the ancient world. According to another source, Cyrus heard about this amazing miracle and he spoke to Daniel. Well, this was after the 2 years that he fought wars in Phoenicia. And of course, then Darius the Mede died, so He came back to rule, the sole ruler of the empire. This source says, the deliverance of Daniel from the den of lions had been used of God to create a favorable impression upon the mind of Cyrus the Great. Somebody told him about this miracle. The sterling qualities of the man of God as a statesman of far-seeing ability led the Persian ruler to show him marked respect and to honor his judgment. This is so interesting. So the great Cyrus the Great had respect for Daniel because of his integrity. This is a scarce commodity in these days. And now, just at the time God had said he would cause his temple at Jerusalem to be rebuilt, he moved upon Cyrus as his agent to discern the prophecies concerning himself with which Daniel was so familiar, and to grant the Jewish people their liberty. As the king saw the words foretelling more than 100 years before his birth, the manner in which Babylon should be taken, as he read the message addressed to him by the ruler of the universe, "I will gird you." This comes from the prophet Isaiah. "I will gird you, though you have not known me." Man, and Cyrus was so surprised when he read this prophecy concerning him almost 2,000 years ago. "That they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other." As he saw before his eyes the declaration of the eternal God, "For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have been called by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me." As he traced the inspired record, "I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free. Not for price nor reward, it was a gift." His heart was profoundly moved, and he determined to fulfill his divinely appointed mission. This was read from the book Isaiah chapter 45. He would let the Judean captives go free, and he would help them restore the temple of God. In a written proclamation published throughout all his kingdom, Cyrus made known his desire to provide for the return of the Hebrews and for the rebuilding of the temple. Now listen to this. The Lord God, and remember, Afghanistan got this information. "The Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth," Afghanistan, Bactria included. The king gratefully acknowledged in this public proclamation, "and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem." By the way, he did this for all the religious people from his time, which is in Judah. "Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem and build the house of the Lord of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. All the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me," including Afghanistan, "and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah." And as I said before, he did this to all the captives, send them back and allow them to practice their religion. What a great man. According to some sources, Cyrus appointed his son Cambyses, the crown prince, as the satrap of Bactria, now called Afghanistan. In the next two generations, every crown prince served in that region. Isn't this fascinating? So Cambyses, the crown prince, ruled over Bactria, over Afghanistan. This to me was tremendous. Looking at modern Afghanistan and its people, it's a beautiful country. I was wondering how many of them knows about their pride history. After the death of Cambyses II, Afghanistan got a new ruler named Darius the Great. It was a great moment when we, Loretta and myself, visited the famous Behustun Rock inscription. This is in Iran. The message that Darius I left on these rocks confirmed the message of the Book of Daniel. Because of the restoration work, we could not get up to see this marvelous inscription. Here you see a picture of it. How many cuneiform panels do you see here? 1, 2, 3. Three ancient cuneiform writings were deciphered. This was one of the greatest breakthroughs in archaeology, because they couldn't read a cuneiform. No one could read it. So history was buried in this on these clay tablets. And here you've got three cuneiform inscriptions. The first one was Old Persian, then you have the Elamite inscription and language, and the last one was the Babylonian, Akkadian. For the first time, words only found in the Bible were also written here. Let me just read you one or two. Darius with his right foot on one of the nine enemies. The name of Nebuchadnezzar is also mentioned on these rocks. He was unknown to people, Nebuchadnezzar. But they found his name here. You are looking at the birth of the deciphering of ancient Persian, Elamite, and Babylonian script cuneiform. This was great. By the way, Daniel also prophesied that knowledge concerning the Book of Daniel would be increased. Relief of Darius the Great in the Behustun inscription. It reads, King of Kings, the Achaemenid Empire, reigned 29 September 522 BCE till October 486 BCE. Coronation was at Pasargadae. That's where the tomb of Cyrus is. Predecessor was Pardea. Successor was Xerxes I. He's the Ahasuerus from the Book of Esther. The relief of Araka reads, this is Araka. He lies when he says he is Nebuchadnezzar. He continues saying, I am Nebuchadnezzar III, the son of Nabonidus, and the king of Babylon. Phew, this is interesting. And then the name of Nabonidus. This, my friend, was a tremendous discovery. Names mentioned only in the Bible were suddenly discovered on the Behustun Rock. Darius also lists the territories under his rule. King Darius says, these are the countries which are subject unto me. And by the grace of Ahura Mazda, I became king of them. And then he mentions them. Persia, Babylonia, Assyria, Arabia, Egypt, Media, Armenia, Cappadocia, Bactria, Afghanistan. I was so excited when I saw this. 23 lands in all. Let me just refresh you with Bactria. Bactria was a satrapy of the Achaemenid Empire. The first mention of Bactria was in 520 BCE at the Behustun inscription. Bactria was a special satrapy in that it was ruled by a crown prince or an intended heir of his mighty kingdom. The capital of Bactria was Bactra. What a proud history of Afghanistan. Next time. You cannot afford to miss next time, because I'm going to tell you about Alexander the Great, who married in Afghanistan. I'm going to show you more than this Bactrian Afghanistan camel. You're going to look at some representatives from Afghanistan here at Persepolis, as well as Naqsh-e Rustam. Our guide, a professor in Iran, is ready to reveal the secrets of the many figures that you see on the wall here at this great archaeological site. Father in heaven, thank you for the birth of archaeology, which confirms the beautiful stories of the Bible. Thank you that we've received new light concerning this marvelous book and the prophet Daniel. Put a hunger in our heart to study this wonderful book of Daniel. And be with us till we meet again, in Jesus' name. Amen.